You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday. We're celebrating Thanksgiving today. Unbelievable. The spread I've given the Danettes on the Traeger Grill. All of these things, items being cooked on the Traeger Grill today. Mayo and herb roasted turkey. Not just a turkey. I'm putting mayo, OJ Mayo, and Herb Williams on the turkey. Baked bourbon maple pumpkin pie.
Come on.
Not just pumpkin pie, not even bourbon pumpkin pie, but bourbon maple pumpkin pie. Rosemary and thyme. I went out with both of them. Infused mashed potatoes with cream. Baked Kevin Bacon green bean casserole and sweet potato casserole. All for you as my way of saying thank you. Yes, Paul.
And notice, was this green bean casserole sent over by Giada, the lovely woman that Fritzy was stalking a couple weeks ago on social media?
No, he did reach out to ask if Giada would help with the signature dish of his mother-in-law, why he would do that to his mother-in-law, who makes a great dish. But he reached out to Giada, and Giada did send something, a cryptic message or recipe back.
Yeah, she just kind of put it out generically to everyone, and I've convinced myself that was directly sent to me.
But the timing of that, though, Todd, is astounding. That 20 minutes after we talked about it on the air, Giada, famous chef, tweeted out a green bean casserole dish.
That is extremely ironic, and it makes you wonder if it's maybe there's a mutual crush. Who knows?
No. There's no mutual crush. She might just have somebody who works with her who was watching.
Don't ruin it for me. I have my own story figured out on how that went down.
Maybe
it,
well, remember when Katy Perry tweeted out and then Todd goes, oh, you know, maybe it's something I put out there before. I go, you didn't put anything out there that Katy Perry is going to tweet the show.
Ignorance is bliss. That's all I'll say.
But didn't she say suck it back row?
I thought she said suck it front row.
Well, then maybe she is responding to you, Todd.
There may be something there.
Your cries for help, and Katy Perry reached out to say, suck it front row. All right, welcome to the program, already in progress, as you can tell. We'll recap what happened last night in Seattle as the Seahawks, maybe they got a different game plan second half of the season. Maybe they're able to play a little defense here. The last couple of weeks, we've seen a little more defense. Carlos Dunlap with the sack last night, and it felt like they contained. You don't stop Kyler Murray. You can only hope to contain him. Russell Wilson had a good game, not a great game, but this is a game you have to win if you're Seattle. It was that important to them. But the Cardinals are going to be a dangerous out the rest of the season. We know that. But it felt like Seattle had a game plan against him. And that is, we're going to dictate what you do. We're not waiting for you to dictate. And you saw that last night. Seattle was pretty aggressive. They ran the ball, passed a little less. I will say, though, Tyler Lockett, week in and week out, I love DK Metcalf. He's a phenomenon. He's a freak. But Tyler Lockett is the key when it comes to that passing offense. Because he had another great game. He's done well against Arizona in his games against them. And Arizona's done a really good job against DK Metcalf. Who would have thought? Let's see. What else do we have? Our worst fears came to realization. Klay Thompson out for the season. Football this weekend. By the way, Indiana, Ohio State, that starts at noon. Just so you don't sleep on that where you go, wait a minute. It's already started. Wisconsin, Northwestern, UCLA, Oregon, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, USC, and Utah. I mentioned a couple of basketball things at the end of the hour. I wanted to get Frank Isola on, who covers the NBA. You can see him on Around the Horn, pardon the interruption. And, of course, he has his SiriusXM NBA radio show called The Starting Lineup, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Frank, thanks for joining us on short notice. This Gordon Hayward situation, where he just turned down $34 million from Boston. What is the plan that Gordon Hayward has? Where's he headed?
Well, first of all, good to see you, Dan. You look great. You know, clearly he's not part of their plans, which doesn't mean that he still might not come back to them for just 1 year. But there's no way that Gordon Hayward is opting out of $34 million a year unless he believes he can get a good deal someplace else. So could that be the Knicks? Could it be the Atlanta Hawks? Is he looking at perhaps a four-year deal worth between $80 and $100 million? It's hard to believe because if you look at the last 3 years, he's only played in 125 games. The first year was one game. The next year, I think it was about 70-plus games, but he was mostly a backup, and that was that first year back from injury. This year was 52, and he didn't play that well, and he wasn't really good in the playoffs, but it only takes one team, and a team like the Knicks, the Atlanta Hawks, they're looking to make big moves. So it looks like Gordon Hayward will likely be on the move. I think what the Lakers are hoping, I'm sorry, what the Celtics are hoping is that he will agree to a sign and trade so maybe they can get something back for him.
But see, why are the Knicks doing this? And then they're going to bring back Carmelo. It just felt like you got Obi Toppin, who's a wonderful kid. I don't, like, RJ Barrett's good. Like, just can they just be complacent, patient here for a little while and not go for the guy that's a big ticket item who's coming off injuries or at the end of his career?
Well, I would say this. I think that Tom Thibodeau wants to win now. When I mean win now, I think he wants to be a playoff team. And the only thing I would say about that, look at the move. Now, it's a different player, but if you look at the move that the Phoenix Suns made, they haven't made the playoffs for 10 straight years. And Chris Paul has been in the playoffs for 10 straight years. And a couple of years ago, everyone would have said, that's the last guy you want on your team because of that contract. Look what he did to Oklahoma City last year, a team that a lot of people thought wouldn't be a playoff team. So everyone's value on that team increased because Chris Paul was there, including Dennis Schroeder, who just got traded to the Lakers. So I think if you're the Knicks, there comes a point, Dan, where you just can't be young all the time. It's about being good. It's about getting better. I say it all the time. If you want to be young and athletic, just draft a track team from a college. You know, get a bunch of 20-year-olds and run up and down. That's not what it's about. Sacramento has not made the playoffs for 14 straight years. They're young. Yeah. And I think the Phoenix Suns are in the same boat where they figured we have to make a move. And that's why I think if you're the Knicks, why not get a couple of veteran players, try to make the playoffs? You need to change the perception of the organization, because the perception of the organization is you're dysfunctional and you're never good enough.
But if I look at the Celtics situation, like, are they – is there another move there for Danny Ainge and the Celtics, or they going status quo?
I think they're, you know, if they end up losing Gordon Hayward for nothing, it's definitely a setback. Now, he wasn't the player that they thought they were getting. The injury obviously had a lot to do with that. And they're in a tough situation as well with Kemba Walker, who all of a sudden, all that wear and tear on the knee is catching up to them. And he struggled in the bubble as well. So this would be a major setback for the Celtics in a year where, you know, look at the moves that Daryl Morey is already making. Could they make a play for James Harden? You know, the Nets are going to be better. Toronto, that situation's in flux, but if they run it back with everybody, they'll still be a tough team. The Atlantic Division is very good, and it looks like the Knicks are getting better as well. So Boston will be, to me, if Boston doesn't have a player similar to Gordon Hayward, a talented scoring type of forward, they're going to take a step back. And this was a team that was a conference finalist last year, or a couple of months ago.
If you ran the Rockets, what would you do with James Harden?
To me, it's frustrating. And this is why, you know, we talk all the time about player empowerment. And players love it. The union loves it. Fans seem to like it. People in the media love it. All right, so player empowerment works when it's LeBron. So he goes to Miami and he throws his weight around and he brings players there. They win a title. He does it in Cleveland. He does it in LA. He wins a title. Kawhi was all about player empowerment. He went out to LA and he said, you need to get Paul George here, then I'll come. So they move heaven and earth, trade all these assets to get Paul George. And what happens? They don't play well. They don't even get out of the second round, and Doc Rivers loses his job. So player empowerment is great for a player because you're never held accountable. So James Harden did the same thing. He didn't want Chris Paul on the team anymore. They trade all these assets. So Oklahoma City will take that contract. And now James Harden wakes up one day, doesn't want to play for the Rockets anymore. To me, if I'm the Rockets, if I can get Ben Simmons, I'm getting 7 years younger. He's been an all-star before in the league. To me, that makes sense. I cannot trade him to the Brooklyn Nets. And I like Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, terrific role players. But you're going to be a lottery team in the Western Conference. And when you're a lottery team, your pick belongs to Oklahoma City. So Sam Presti is rooting for the Houston Rockets to trade James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets because Oklahoma City will end up with those picks.
Yeah, it is amazing, though, that he said, hey, I don't want to play with Chris Paul. I want Russell Westbrook. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he goes, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And if I'm the Rockets, I'm not in any hurry to trade James Harden. I want two teams to be involved. And I wonder about this, Frank. I still think if you said I'm going to get James Harden, I'd rather have James Harden with Ben Simmons than I would Joel Embiid. Because I don't think Joel Embiid's going to go, hey, let me just stand around and watch him jack up 30 shots a game. He wants to be a star, thinks he's a star. Ben Simmons, to me, would be more of an accompaniment, a compliment to James Harden as a player than Joel Embiid would.
I happen to agree with you. It's funny. Just a little while ago, I looked it up on Embiid. You know, he's been in the league 6 years. He's played in 209 regular season games. LeBron has played in 260 playoff games in his career. And that's the thing. Embiid is a terrific player, but the way the NBA is going, kind of going away from the big man, and to me, he's not available enough. And the one thing about Harden, people could beat him up all they want. You know, some of the playoff moments that he's had where he checked down that one game against San Antonio, hasn't played well the last couple of years. They had Golden State on the ropes. He didn't play well. During the regular season, the guy plays. He's like, he's the throwback. He lives hard. He goes out all the time, but guess what? He shows up and he plays and he's productive. And Ben Simmons is 6'10", could handle the ball. Whenever people ask you to, you know, decide between the two of them, I'm with you. I always say Ben Simmons, just because for me, the skill, the athleticism, and to me, he's only going to get better. You just worry about Embiid with that foot injury that he's had.
He's Frank Isola, who is on Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption, and he has a show on Sirius XM NBA Radio, the starting lineup, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Lakers make any moves here in free agency?
Well, you know, Jerian Grant is a player that they'd love to have, an athletic wing player. I don't believe that they can get him, but I think they made a really good move getting Dennis Schroeder. Now, Rondo brought great leadership to that team last year, played very well, especially in the playoffs. But I think what's going to happen with the Lakers, there'll always be those players late in the season, whether or not they get bought out or guys that they'll sign for minimum deals. LeBron is still at the top of his game, and we'll see how they manage his games and his minutes during the season.
But do you think Rondo's gone?
I do think he's gone. I had heard that Atlanta's going to offer him 2 years, $15 million, but his preference, believe it or not, is to play for the Clippers. I don't know why that is. Does he have a relationship with Ty Lue? That could be part of it. So I think the Clippers are definitely in on him. So if Rondo were to leave, I think he would end up with the Clippers. But LeBron is still so good. And Anthony Davis is like the perfect second player, because I think Anthony Davis is fine with LeBron still being the guy. And there were times where you could tell LeBron was carrying Anthony Davis. You know, Davis gets hurt a lot. He leaves games. He ends up coming back in. But I think Anthony Davis, even the way we perceive him now, has changed because he played with LeBron and won a title. Think about the guys that LeBron's won a title with: Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, now Anthony Davis. He's done a lot for the careers of those players.
What kind of team is Golden State going to be this year?
I mean, I think they'll struggle to make the playoffs just because the Western Conference is so good. And it stinks because we all love Klay Thompson. He's a great guy, terrific player, unbelievable shooter. The Kelly Oubre move is interesting. So if they're going to trade for him, and that $14 million is, because of luxury tax, is basically $82 million. You mean to tell me in today's NBA, with all the scouting that we have, every team has 100 scouts and they have all these development coaches, you can't find a player somewhere in the G League that comes, I get it. You can't find someone that comes close to what Klay Thompson does. You can't find someone that comes close to doing what Kelly Oubre does, which essentially isn't going to cost you $82 million.
Wait, explain that.
All right. Well, he makes $14 million, and because now they'll be over the luxury tax, that really comes out to about, like I said, $66 million of luxury tax. So you add the two of them, it's $82 million. Just to add Kelly Oubre to the team. That's how much he puts you over the luxury tax. That's what I don't understand. You can't, there's nobody that you can find a cheaper alternative. Are they panicking a little bit? Kelly Oubre is a good player, but for $82 million, I don't know about that for 1 year.
Frank, always great to see you. Thanks for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving. My best to all the PTI and Around the Horn folks, and thanks for joining us on short notice.
Thanks, Dan. Same to your guys.
That's Frank Isola and the starting lineup Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Prior to the start of this hour, in fact, last hour, McLovin breathlessly had a tease for us on who the Saints could be starting at quarterback this weekend.
So last hour, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider, said, intrigue in New Orleans. The Saints have given Taysom Hill starter reps in practice this week. So while Jameis Winston took over for Drew Brees last week, signs are pointing towards Hill getting his first NFL start at QB if all checks out after practice.
Oh, my God.
But then, 1 minute ago, Adam Schefter reported.
Wait, you have a tease to your tease?
Well, this has just came out. Schefter said it's Hill.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, the game got a whole lot more interesting there.
Yeah, I know, right? Now it's must watch.
Yes. Well, I was curious about Jameis, but Taysom Hill, sure. I want to see what we do and how many throws, how many runs. Is he? Will Jameis and Taysom be in at the same time? Yes, McClellan.
There's a lot of speculation by reporters that Jameis will also play. So it could be a combo platter.
Out at wide receiver, though.
Jameis is playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he's going to be returning kicks and things like that. Yes, Bowie.
I'm preparing a Taysom Hill over-under game for later in
the show. Ooh, I like it.
Not approved by Vegas.
Okay.
Working on it.
All right. Nate in North Carolina. Hi, Nate. Welcome to the program.
Hey, DP. Third time, long time. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question for you. Warriors, you made some great points last hour that Steph might not win another championship. I heard one of the guys call in saying that, you know, they're really wanting to see people in the stands soon. They really want to get another championship happening there in Golden State. Do you really think they're not going to make another move and try to get a James Harden or a Russell Westbrook? I know the money's going to be hard, but I just see them going all out for Steph in these last few years. What do you think?
I don't know who you're giving up. Like, what are your assets that you have? You're not getting Russell Westbrook. And to bring in James Harden, if you're already over the salary cap, they paid Klay Thompson. So he's already gotten his contract extension. I think it was 5 for $190. You're not going to get that money back. In fact, this is after he got hurt. Last summer, the Warriors gave Klay Thompson 5-year, $190 million contract. They were expecting him to be ready to go, and you're still on the hook for that. Now you're bringing in Kelly Oubre. And Frank brings up a great point. Can't you find a player who's similar to that, who might be, I don't know, a free agent? I don't know. This feels kind of strange there. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, Daniel Jeremiah, who I have great respect for, works for the NFL Network. He was on the call last night, Thursday Night Football. And I'll get his thoughts on the Saints going with Taysom Hill. I'm curious what, and Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout, I'm curious what his report was on Taysom Hill coming out of BYU. Also, did Seattle have a blueprint here? Is this a blueprint other teams can follow when you're facing Kyler Murray? So we'll talk to Daniel Jeremiah. He'll join us coming up here, 19 after the hour, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. Masterclass is here to help you. There's so many of these classes, and there's about 90, in fact, over 90 right now. Each class is broken out into individual video lessons that fit easily into your everyday life. And they offer classes on a variety of topics. And you're talking about 20 lessons per class, and they're about 10 minutes per lesson. They range from 2 hours to 5 hours, but you do it, you know, at your own speed, your own pace. Lessons are available anytime, anywhere on your phone, computer, tablet, or smart TV. Each class supported by downloadable materials. There's workbooks, exercises, recipes, and more. Let's say you want to learn about cooking. Gordon Ramsay will help you do that. Steph Curry will help you with basketball, shooting, drills. Serena Williams with tennis. Steve Martin with comedy. Shonda Rhimes, one of the great TV executives on how to write a TV show. If you think that you would want to try it, do it as a Dan Patrick Show listener, and you get this special deal. When you buy your annual membership to MasterClass, you can give somebody another annual membership for free. Get unlimited access to every MasterClass for you and a friend right now. Can't beat this. MasterClass.com/Patrick. MasterClass.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's our good friend Jeff Duncan who covers the Saints. People should not be surprised. Taysom Hill. The Taysom Hill news, there's a good reason the Saints gave him $16 million in guaranteed money this year. It's not to be a gadget guy or run down the field on kickoffs. I'm still a little bit surprised because I think Jameis Winston is more of a NFL quarterback than Taysom Hill is. I love that Taysom Hill is unique. It'll be fun. Makes the game far more interesting. Let's bring in Daniel Jeremiah. He's a former scout with the Ravens, Browns, Eagles. He's an NFL Network analyst. He was working the game last night that we'll get to. Let me start with what you thought of Taysom Hill when he came out of college.
Sure, Dan. I thought he was, first of all, I felt like I evaluated him 9 years in a row, because every year you'd go to BYU and looking at me like, hey, they got this kid Taysom Hill. It'll be his last year. And he'd get hurt and he'd come back for another year and another year and another year. So, but the evaluation was, honestly, was he was a faster Scott Frost, which was, you remember Scott coming out, he made the transition to safety. And the thought was, this guy's a tremendous athlete. He just runs around back there for the most part. So, you know, we can use him in a variety of roles, special teams. Maybe you can develop him into a safety. But I for one, did not view him as a future NFL starting quarterback. And I don't know anybody that was scouting him that did at that time.
Why is Sean Payton all in on Taysom Hill?
I think he's had a certain playbook that he's been limited to with Drew. And I think he's been curious to see how he could expand it and the creativity he could bring to Sean to kind of invigorate him a little bit. So I think that's been something that's an itch he's wanted to scratch. And, I was curious. I was anxious to see if they would give him this opportunity, because I was beginning to think that Taysom Hill was going to have a lifetime in the sidecar and never get to be in the motorcycle. He's always going to be the other quarterback along with your starter instead of being the starter. And now you're getting a chance to see, let's see what he can do with an entire game or two here.
But he's 30. Can you teach somebody to play the position at 30?
He's a young 30, Dan. He's a young 30.
he's got a lot of mileage. 30. No, he's got a lot of mileage on. He's an old 30, I think.
No, I mean, well, I don't know. We're going to find out. We, there's nothing to compare this to. We don't really have anything in history to go back to compare it to. I just know, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands when he takes off and runs. My question is, doing that on a part-time basis, he's been able to stay healthy. Can he stay healthy doing that on a full-time basis?
Okay, if you could have Tebow or Taysom Hill.
Tebow, I think, ran high 4.6s, low 4.7s. Taysom Hill is a 4.4. I mean, like, he's a totally different level of athlete than Tim Tebow.
Why is Tebow not in the league?
He's a quarterback that can't throw, Dan. That's not a great combination. So that would be why.
Other than that.
How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
But okay, this felt like this was common knowledge, but people were still... Denver takes him first round. Josh McDaniels takes him first round.
Yeah, I mean, but you can talk yourself into to Tebow as a passer in college. I mean, even though, you know, there was issues with his delivery, there was issues with the, you know, when you just watched him mechanically. But if you want to look at the stats and the numbers, you say, okay, well, he played in the SEC, you know, completion percentage, yards, wins, all that stuff all piled up. And you can say, hey, he made that skill set work in the best conference in college football. Maybe we can get him to make it work in the NFL. So I can see how they kind of talk themselves into that.
Yeah, it's still baffling because Tebow's, what, 32 now? But if you said to Tebow, hey, we're going to make you a tight end, like, Tebow would still be in the league, wouldn't he?
I don't know. I don't know if he was that type of an athlete. I feel like the Jets and the Patriots kind of wanted to get him worked into some of those areas, and it just didn't really happen. So, I don't know. I think that was kind of the easy thing to say for all those years. Like, if he had just played fullback or tight end, H-back, that he'd be still going. And I don't think that's necessarily the case.
What have you seen with Kyler Murray that's different than how you viewed him when he was coming out of college?
Well, I mean, he was an acquired taste for me in college, and I just got to the point where I was like, I cannot deny how good this guy has been. You know, even, you know, you look at some of the size issues, limitations of the limited play time, whatever you want to look at negatively.
But did you have more questions about Kyler or Baker Mayfield?
I thought Kyler was a much better player than Baker Mayfield. Okay. So Kyler, I had a higher grade on coming out. So, but he's been, you know, I got to the point where by draft day, I was excited about what he could do. And he still exceeded that. Somebody was asking me the other day for, you know, the comparison for Kyler Murray. I'm like, there's not really an easy comparison. I guess the only thing I could say would be, you know, if you left Patrick Mahomes in the dryer for too long and strapped a jetpack to his back, that's kind of the way Kyler Murray plays. I mean, he's just a little miniature version of Patrick Mahomes with a little more juice.
But I wonder what we saw with Seattle last night, and you were doing the game. Seattle seemed to have a little bit more of an aggressive approach, and that is, we want to dictate what you're going to do before you dictate what we're going to do. Is that the blueprint, do you think?
Well, they did a good job with the zone read. And so what they did is they just said, you're going to have to give the ball because we're going to account for the quarterback on every single zone read. So they kind of eliminated that portion of what he can do with his athleticism. But Dan, I thought when his shoulder, when he got crunched in the first half,
yeah.
I don't think he really looked to run. I don't think he looked to create. There were times where they were rushing three on some third downs. And usually when you rush three against a very athletic quarterback, you're begging him to go take off and run and get some of those free yards. And he never really even looked to do it. So I'm going to kind of put that game on a little bit on the side there in terms of an evaluation of Kyler, because I did not think he was right there with his shoulder.
And with Russell Wilson, was it just size? That's why he didn't go in the first or second round?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember where I was sitting at the Senior Bowl when the weigh-ins happened, and a lot of us had got to the point where we were like, okay, we were hoping he was going to be 6 feet tall, but we had convinced ourselves he's going to be 5'11 and change, and you know, that's okay, we'll get through that. And then they said 5'10, 6. And then we all kind of looked at each other, we're like, oh man, like you get in the draft room selling 5'10, it sounds silly, but selling 5'10 is a lot more difficult than selling 5'11 at that time. It sounds stupid, but it's absolutely true, because I remember somebody in the room, high up in the room where I was with the Eagles, just saying, who were the comparisons? Who were the 5'10 quarterbacks? And you're like, well, you get Doug Flutie. I mean, that's about it.
But if Russ was coming out now, given Kyler's success, where is Russell? First round?
Top five pick.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because you would sit in there and you would read your reports on Russell Wilson, Dan, and you would be like, where are the negatives here? You know, he's got a live arm. He's a great athlete. He's smart. He's tough, competitive. He's been productive at a high level. You know, like there was, and even the size thing, there wasn't really, you never watched the tape of Wisconsin and left a game thinking, you know what, gosh, man, his size really hurt him in that one. It was really an issue. It wasn't, but it was just trying to get past the, you know, the history of not having one of those to compare him to. That's what it was. And that would have been gone.
And I wonder, I've said that Steph Curry will probably have a longer lasting impact on the NBA skill-wise than Michael Jordan, because we can't be Michael Jordan. But yeah, Everybody feels like they could be Steph Curry. I wonder if Russell Wilson's impact on the NFL is going to be, he opened the door for every one of these quarterbacks who were 6 feet or under.
I don't think it's just the NFL. I think you can go to college and to high school. I think if you went into some of the, you know, big high schools in Texas or Florida and California, and you had a kid that went out there for tryouts and was 5'9", 5'10", and was infinitely better than the 6'3", 6'4" kid, those big high schools wouldn't even give the smaller kid a chance and say, no, you, that's not going to work. We're going to go with the bigger kid and we'll try and develop him to see what he can be. And we've seen that trickle all the way up. You know, Kyler Murray, Does Kyler Murray, you know, does he at that huge high school at Allen, Texas, is he even playing quarterback there at that time? If we don't have some of the success of some of these smaller guys, much less now we're looking around the NCAA. I think Alabama's got a freshman that they signed out of Modern Day High School, Bryce Young, who's 6 foot or below. He'll be starting in Alabama here in a year, and he'll run that program for 3 years.
He's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst and former NFL scout. He does the Chargers games. By the way, how do you think the haircut with Justin Herbert is going to affect his performance here, Daniel?
I haven't had anything negative to say about Justin all year long. He's been phenomenal.
But,
and John Lott's a really good strength coach, but you know, you don't ask strength coaches to cut your hair. I mean, that's just, there's simple rules you live by, Dan, and that's got to be one of them. So that's the first poor decision Justin's really made.
Yeah, I agree. When do you start analyzing the college football players?
I'm working through offensive linemen right now. So that's kind of, I like to go positions at a time. So right now I'm really kind of getting cranked into it and then looking at the offensive line. So it's kind of apropos. Thanksgiving's coming up. It makes you really hungry when you watch a bunch of big guys.
But do you build up to the quarterback? What position is the final position?
Yeah, usually the quarterback I try and save towards the end, but there's sometimes you get into a lull where you're like, man, I got to get a pick me up here, and the quarterbacks are my favorite thing to do. So once we get to that point where I'm gonna need a little juice, then I'll start really diving in.
Aside from the obvious, who are the quarterback candidates who might surprise us that they might be a day one or maybe a day two, but keep an eye on?
Well, I mean, BYU, Zach Wilson, is everybody in the league loves that kid. So there is, he's got a lot of supporters.
But what is it that he has that, what does he do better than Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
I think is just a creative playmaker. And I've looked at one game on him. So I've just looked at one game. He's got a live, loose arm. I think some of the things that this is the Patrick Mahomes effect of being able to play, you know, doing some things outside the structure of the offense. He does those extremely well while, you know, not being, you know, overboard with it, not being a little reckless. He's just got some of that playmaking ability that's got a lot of people fired up and excited.
Anybody else? I like what I'm seeing with Trask. He seems like a tough kid that he's going to take a hit, but he'll stay in there in the throw. But I always wonder about this, Daniel, and you know this better than me. I want to see what you do after an interception. I want to see what you do after you get sacked. Like in college, everybody's completing 80% of their passes, it feels like. I want to see when something bad happens to you. How important is that? Because in the pros, you're eventually going to get humbled.
Yeah, I mean, look at Joe Burrow. I mean, that was kind of his signature play from the year before, right? When he has the interception, he gets drilled and then comes back and plays lights out the rest of that game and then really never looked back the rest of his career. But the challenge, and Ozzie Newsome used to always say this in the combine interviews, was he wanted to get to the adversity that these kids have faced, not just on the field, but off the field and what they've done to overcome that. Because when you look at the bus, and we kind of all know who those guys are for the most part, dealing with adversity is the number one reason why these quarterbacks don't make it, because they haven't had much. They haven't had much through high school or college, you know, talking on the field. And then when they face that adversity, how are you going to handle it? So trying to see that and trying to diagnose that not only on the field but off the field is a key part of whether or not these guys are going to make it.
Is Trevor Lawrence going to be rated higher than Joe Burrow?
I think there's probably a good chance of that because of just the added dimension of what he can do as a runner. You know, he's pretty special in that
regard. Joe Burrow is pretty good at that, too.
Joe Burrow is a good physical runner. Trevor Lawrence has got just more juice. Joe Burrow is going to fight his way for 15 yards, and Trevor Lawrence ran away from Ohio State. So that's the little difference there.
Boy, but to go to the Jets?
I'm not as down on the Jets, Dan. Let me give you my positivity for the Jets here. You probably just put a commercial while I'm talking.
No. You're Mr. Positivity. I'm all ears here. So the going to the Jets is going to be a great thing for Trevor Lawrence because?
Because I've studied them this week because they play the Chargers. So the left tackle, Mekhi Becton, who we loved in the draft, is going to be the best left tackle in the NFL within the next 2 years.
Okay.
Denzel Mims, who's been on the field for the last 3 or 4 weeks, looks outstanding. He's going to be a really good number two wide receiver. So there's a couple pieces there you can work with on offense. They've got, I think, the second most cap space of any team in the league. They're going to have the first overall pick. They're going to get Trevor. They're going to have Seattle's pick, which is going to be somewhere in the 20s. They're going to have the 33rd pick, the first pick of the second round. And I believe they're going to trade, if they have the first pick, they'll trade Sam Darnold. And I firmly believe they'll get a one. So you're going to have four of the top 33 picks to add in around him, a boatload of money in free agency to go out and get, you know, the Bud Dupree's or, you know, whoever else, the Curtis Samuels, any guys you want there in free agency. So I think it can turn around pretty quick. They need to get the right coach. I mean, in my opinion, they got to go find the right coach. But I think that actually is a chance to turn around there with Jets.
But if you're Eric Bieniemy, and I said, take your pick.
I'm coaching Trevor Lawrence if I'm Eric Bieniemy.
All right. Because I don't want to go to Houston. As much as I like Deshaun Watson, I think that organization's a mess.
Well, the good news about Houston is that if you want an extra day off, you can take it. Unfortunately, it's the first day of the draft.
Wow. But what about Atlanta? Would you be interested in coaching the Falcons?
You know, I would be curious to see what their thought process is, because I think you could go two ways. You could say we still have, you know, with Julio and with Matt Ryan and some of these key pieces, Ridley's a really good player.
Would you keep Matt Ryan?
I think you have to with salary cap for another year.
Okay.
So, but are you going to try and maybe make a little run here with this group last time, or is it a gut job and you're coming in there trying to really, you know, go to the ground floor and build it back up? That's something I think that any coach that goes on the interview is going to need to figure out.
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating that Bieniemy can have, I think, you know, when the Texans said that they might be, or somebody reported they might just give it to Romeo Crennel for another year, I thought that said a whole lot, that they know they can't get Eric Bieniemy in Houston. So why not just have Romeo one more year? Can't be interviewing people due to COVID probably. And it's an odd year. So why not turn it over or keep it with Romeo Crennel?
Yeah, you know, and look, I do want to mention with Houston that you have Deshaun Watson. So even the fact you don't have draft picks, you've got some salary cap issues and roster issues. Man, there could be worse things than to get to coach him on a yearly basis. But I just think there's a little bit of a mess you got to kind of clean up there with some other areas.
Who had the flower arrangement behind you? Who's
this is an NFL Network production back here. And the other thing is, Dan, do the bricks look real or fake to you?
Fake.
100%.
Yeah.
Wallpaper.
I know fake because all I have to do is look over the other side of the glass and I see fakes.
Oh, you've got bricks. You've got bricks behind you. Are those fakes?
They are cut in half. They're not full bricks. They're surface bricks.
Okay. I think the Oakland Coliseum has those as you walk out into the field. Those little miniature bricks.
You need helmets in there. You need books in there.
I know, but I feel like, you know, I thought about just kind of to have some fun, like putting my son's Little League trophies back here. You know, Kurt's got his MVPs and his NFL Man of the Year. What if I just put like a little League trophy?
Why don't you get your jersey? Didn't you play college football?
Yeah, but I mean, like, is my Appalachian State jersey going to give me a lot more credibility right behind me?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, given what your display is back there, yes, it will, Daniel. Yes. Hey, great to
talk. I get a lot of compliments on these flowers, I'll have you know. A lot of them.
No, my wife would like them. I mean, I think that she would really like those. It's very nice. Great to talk to you. Thanks for getting up for the appearance here, and great to talk to you. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks, Dan. See you, bud.
That's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. And if you're watching on Peacock, you could see how bad that kind of that background area was with Daniel. Wait, did I just say that? Oh, I just did. NFL Network, they were on the game last night. It's called the Scouts Feed broadcast of last night's game. Cardinals Seahawks on Amazon Prime and Twitch. And you can follow Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks. I always learn something with his own. I think he's one of the best analysts we have in the NFL. When we come back, we play the Taysom Hill betting game right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, one of my favorites, will join us coming up next hour. He just sent this out. Jameis Winston will throw more passes Sunday than Taysom Hill. Mark it down. Write it in stone. Do whatever you want to do with that. Paulie has prop bets, though, on Taysom Hill. That was a little feedback from my headphones there, Seton. That was my fault. Do you have the Taysom Hill betting game?
I wish we had music for this game.
Ooh, okay. Oh. Sounds familiar.
Custom.
Yeah.
By the way, Taysom Hill's, can anyone guess when Taysom Hill's last start at quarterback was?
At BYU?
Yes. How many years ago?
6 years ago.
2016 against Utah State. He carved them up. I think. I don't know. All right. Taysom Hill, over under 1.5 touchdown passes. Who would like to go over 1.5 touchdown passes?
Touchdown passes.
Passes.
Not, passes with okay. A P.
As okay. Todd would say.
Yeah. You can overemphasize passes all you want. I'm still going to take the under.
Everyone's passing.
Passing on it. Okay.
Over under 1.5 interceptions.
I'm going under.
Confidence. Over under 13.5 completions. Passing completions. Drew Brees averages about 22 completions.
I'm going under.
Wow.
Under, what if it was
13 and a half?
What if it was 10 and a half?
I'm going under.
Wow.
Dang, all right.
Okay.
Like he's conservative back. Game, huh?
Yes.
Over under 49.5 rushing yards for Taysom Hill.
I'm going to go over. I think he's going to have 57 yards rushing.
And 57 yards passing?
57 yards rushing.
Here's the final one.
Okay.
Does Taysom Hill finish the game as the Saints' starting quarterback?
I'm going to go under.
He will not finish the game as a starter.
No. No.
They're playing the Falcons.
The Falcons are better than what you think.
Couldn't be worse.
No, the Falcons. Okay. All right. I warned you guys about the Giants, and everybody snickered. Giants could win that division. Falcons are playing better. I'm just throwing it out there. And plus, this is always a crazy rivalry game where the team that is supposed to win doesn't win.
You warned everybody about the 1-7 Giants, by the way.
Yes, I did. And look at them. They can win the division.
They're on fire right
now. They play hard every single game. They play harder than the Cowboys do. They play harder than the Eagles do.
Todd's AAU team plays harder than the Cowboys do.
By the way, this program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance. I got my Mercedes washed before I came in today.
It was dripping coming in, man. You look good.
Yep. MBUSA.com/AMG. Find out if a Mercedes-AMG coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. Yes, Paul.
But you parked your car right next to Todd's car, and I'm not kidding when I say Todd told me he hasn't washed his car in 4 years.
It's been a while.
Now, you've never washed that car?
I've washed it, but probably early on when I was all excited when I first got it. And, you know, just like when you get anything, you keep it all extra.
When did you buy that car?
I'd say like 5 years ago. So okay. Some five and a half, something like that.
But you haven't washed that car in
it's been easily a few years.
5 years.
I certainly didn't watch it myself, and I don't recall bringing it into a place either.
I was going to get the Backroom Guys. By the way, the 12:15 podcast Backroom Guys available later on today. I was going to have the Backroom Guys wash one half of your car. And just to show the difference in how dirty that car is.
It's screaming.
Just
for
go
a while.
Right through the drive-thru. Why is it a big deal?
It's not a big deal. I keep putting it off, and it's laziness, whatever it is, and I do it another day, and then it becomes months and years.
Considering everything I've revealed on this show about my life, I thought that I should reveal this to you. And this might be one of the more embarrassing things that I've ever revealed about my personal life. I have been watching Emily in Paris. it's a show called Emily in Paris, and I've been watching this Nicole Kidman Hugh Grant show on HBO called
is heavy, dude.
Yeah, The Undoing or something. Ooh. It's really, really well done. And my wife walked into the room, and I have my tablet there, and she goes, "Oh, you're watching Nicole Kidman Hugh Grant?" I go, "No," and she goes, "What are you watching?" I go, "Emily in Paris." And she goes, "What? Oh, my God. What are you doing?" And then she goes, "Do the Danettes know you're watching Emily in Paris?" I go, "No." She goes, "Well, you better tell them."
And Lily Collins?
Yeah. That's Phil Collins' daughter.
She's
great.
Very talented.
Yes. Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris follows Emily, a driven 20-something American from Chicago, who jets off to Paris for an unexpected job opportunity. She is tasked with bringing an American point of view to a venerable French marketing firm.
Yeah, I don't know if the reviews are great, and then she's viewed as the ugly American. Yes, McLovin?
I would have been shocked if you had not watched Emily in Paris. Oh, no, you.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you like Entertainment Tonight, you like magazines, you're the gossip king, like who celebrity couples dating?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're watching Emily in Paris.
Yeah, but you like Sex. Did you?
No, I did not like Sex and the
did
City.
Did you watch Sex and the City? Have you gone on a Sex and the City tour within the last calendar year?
Yes. Calendar year.
You have mentioned many times that you live near Sarah Jessica Parker.
Bonjour.
This is you at home smoking a cigar.
No, no.
Yeah. There's nothing else on? They're not building a cabin somewhere?
It was before the game last night. Ugh. And that's the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever revealed about myself. Yes, Paul.
I just heard McLovin go, "It's a great show."
It's a great show. It's a really good show.
It's not.
It's okay.
It's not. But I can't turn it off.
I've seen every episode twice.